So in our series that we're looking at about living a God-honoring life today, we're looking at the subject of prayer. Now, we all probably know about the subject of prayer, and you think, well, why have I come to church to hear about prayer? Well, we're going to investigate and look at a little bit more about prayer today. Is that okay? Last week, we looked about intimacy and how God doesn't like religion. God likes intimacy. He wants a relationship with us. And through that relationship with him, we get to know him and to trust him and to serve him and to learn really just how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. And if you don't know how wonderful the Lord Jesus is, let me tell you today, he is wonderful. So wonderful. And so we're going to look at the subject of prayer, and we're going to perhaps look at what prayer isn't, and we're going to try and open it out a little bit in case you're not used to praying or don't understand prayer very much. You probably do, and you probably think, why are we covering that? But we're covering it because there's a whole series that we're interweaving. Next week, we've got a visiting speaker. The week after that, Alan Young will be talking on humility, and then I'll be talking on the subject of surrender. And those five things that we've talked about in this section are very important for us in where we are today in our church, in our church life. So there's a quote by George A. Buttrick who says, prayer is listening and speaking. It's receiving as well as asking. It's the deepest mood in friendship with reverence. I love that statement. It's the deepest mood in friendship and reverence. So the daily prayer should end as it begins, in adoration. So what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. It's a conversation that we have with him. It can be silent. Many of us pray silently. It can be loud. We may speak out at our prayers, and we might be on the bus speaking at our prayers and people look at us. Quite often when people are in the car with me, they're speaking out their prayers. Or it could be that you sing your prayer. You know, what are the Psalms? They are prayers. They are prayers written to music. So if you've never prayed singing before, why don't you try it? Why don't you go somewhere? If you've got a dog, take a dog a walk and a field and start to pray and sing. One primary purpose of prayer is connecting with God in order for us to know his will in our life. Megan talked about knowing the will of God, and he changed the subject slightly about doing the will of God. But in order to know the will of God, we have to spend time with him. We have to communicate with him. We have to hear his voice. We have to hear what he is saying. Remember what we said last week in intimacy. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. It only matters what Jesus says. And in prayer, we communicate, we connect with God, and he shares his will and his plans and his purposes for our life. He shares the goals that he wishes us to accomplish. And it's a vital expression of our trust in God. When Jerry jumped out of that plane, he probably was thinking, God, I'm now in your hands. It comes from our devotion to him. It comes from our commitment to him. Prayer involves many things, but one thing prayer always, always, always involves is surrender to God. When we pray, we need to surrender our will and align it to his will. It's so important. Prayer often involves a believer deliberately seeking the mind of God on a particular matter and is therefore God-centered and not self-centered. So there'll be a situation that we're going to bring to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to say, Lord, in this situation, I need to hear your voice. I need to know your mind on this subject. I need to know what you think I should do. It comes from a sincere heart that longs for God to reveal what he desires. When we're coming to pray, we're coming to say, God, what do you desire right now? Prayer needs time for communicating. It needs time for listening. It needs time for waiting on him. How often do we just throw up a quick prayer, God help me? Amen. Sometimes prayer is misunderstood. Sometimes it's made complicated. Jesus clearly said what prayer is not and what should be avoided when we pray. So if we look at Matthew chapter 6 for a minute, verse 5. Let's read it together. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I want to say prayer is never a bargaining tool to get God to do what you want him to do. We're not doing God a favor when we pray to him and saying, well, you know, if I spend all this time in prayer, then God's going to do what I want him to do. Pagan religions, pagan believers that worship false gods, this is what they do. They think that they can coerce their God to do what they want him to do. If they make enough noise, if they cut themselves, if they sacrifice, if they do all these kind of things, that their God will listen to them and do what they want them to do. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 28, we have the story of Elijah and the false prophets who serve Baal. And Elijah says to them, come on, guys, if your God is real, if he's alive, if he's awake, then you need to wake him up and cut yourselves a bit more. And they cut themselves and with swords and spears, and they shout a lot louder, and they sacrifice as much as they can because they're hoping that they will be able to wake up their God and coerce him into sending fire from heaven and to accept their offering. And, of course, God, their God, who doesn't exist, is still asleep and does nothing. I have to be careful what I say now, because sometimes people do make major steps of faith and believe God for things. But there's some teaching out there that I don't agree with, okay? And there is a teaching out there that is name it and claim it. That you, if you haven't got a brand new car, you need to say to God, I need a brand new car, and believe for it, and you'll get your car. Now, I don't always believe that God works that way. Some people do. And, you know, we had some people in our church some years ago that were very, very hurt by this teaching, that they felt let down by God because they'd been taught this by some people that are very passionate about God, but said, you're obviously not getting something because your faith level isn't right. You're not praying in a particular way. You're not doing things in the way that God would want you to do. Sometimes people teach you, if you put £1,000 in the offering today, you'll get £7,000 back. If you put £10 in the offerings, you'll get £770 back. And I don't believe God works that way. God never puts a figure on things. What God says, if you do what I ask you to do, if you bring your tithes and offerings into the house, into the storehouse, if you honour me with your first fruit, then I will bless you. And see if I do not open the store gates of heaven for you. That's what he says. It's the only command where in the Old Testament where there's no recrimination or no consequences for not giving. Giving is a free will to God, always. He only wants a free will offering. He doesn't want us to give something if we are begrudging giving it to God. And God says, if you do that, if you honor me, if you do what I ask you to do and show that I am your God and you trust me implicitly with your finances, I will bless you. Prayer is not presenting God with a list of needs and wants. Did anybody see Bruce Almighty? And he grew an extra finger so he could say yes, yes to everybody's prayers. Because God doesn't say yes all the time. Does anybody know that? Does anybody know that sometimes God doesn't say yes? Oops. He's not some kind of genie that will give you a wish, that you come into church and you raise your hand and it's like rubbing a little genie's lamp and out pops God and says, what's your wish today? What would you like me to do for you? He's not a vending machine where he just gives us what we want. Sometimes people go to God and say, God, I need this, I want this. This is what I need, this is what I want. And it's not about relationship, it's about what God can do for them. Neither is it a repetition of religious words to impress God to gain what we want. There was a story of a Pharisee who gave all these, stood in the church and gave all these religious words and said, God, I thank you I'm not like Timothy Skinner over there. He's a rotten sinner. I thank you, God, that you always hear me because I give all of my money into the church, but he doesn't. And I wear a suit or nice clothes, and he wears tatty clothes. I'm thanking God that really you just always hear me but never hear him. It's not about that, is it? It's about our heart when we come towards him. He's longing today for you and I just to come as we are and just talk with him. Tell him how much we love him. Thank him for his goodness and his faithfulness. You see, Jesus opened a way for us to have direct access to the throne of God. Isn't that good? You and I are living in the wonderful benefit and privilege of what Jesus has done. It means we can have direct access to Jesus, direct access to the Father right now. Any time of the day, today, any time of the night, on any day, 24/7, we have direct access. And because of what Jesus has done, it's the authentic way of us seeking the Father through what Jesus has done in our lives and seeking his plans and purpose for us. But prayer is more than just seeking his plan and purposes for us. It's aligning ourselves to his will. So if what God wants is over here and what we want over here, as we're praying and God reveals that to us, we need to start moving to align ourselves with what God's saying, with what the Lord Jesus wants, for the plans and purposes he has for us. We might say, well, God, I don't really want to do that. I said to the Lord years ago, before I met Esther, I will never become a pastor, ever. I will do anything you ask me, but do not ever ask me to become a pastor. But I knew deep down inside that I have to align myself with what God wanted. Otherwise, I'd never fulfill what he'd asked me to do. Do you know how I knew it? I prayed about what God's will was for me. Dangerous prayer. We have to adjust our will to match his. See, through prayer, we want to get the mind of Christ. We need to get his perspective on things. We need to see things as he sees them. And I love it that we can have that conversation anytime, anywhere, any place. Sometimes we pray, the conversation is in our mind. Sometimes it's out loud. Either way, as we pray, he becomes our focus. Prayer isn't a natural response for us. Sometimes prayer is the last resort. Is that anybody else here? We pray after the event. We pray after we've done something which we think we shouldn't have done, and we go, God, help me. We pray, we've taken the job. Yeah, it's a great job. We've taken it. Have we prayed about it? No. Afterwards, it's not the right job. We go into a relationship with somebody, and afterwards we go, I should have prayed about that before I went on that first date. We make a life-changing decision to move to another part of the world. A better job. And we realize we should have prayed about it first. So often people pray afterwards. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. Do you remember last week we talked about the Ephesian church and how it changed over the years? And Timothy was the pastor of the Ephesian church. And the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul urged Timothy, the first thing you do is Pray. The first thing we do is pray. If we're looking to change our job or move house or go out with somebody or marry somebody or whatever it is, we pray about it first. So we say, Lord, what are you saying about this situation? I want to align myself to your will and purposes. Is this right for my life? And if it isn't, Lord, please show me. And if it is, Lord, please show me. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the first Christians devoted themselves to four essentials. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are four corners, important corners, vital corners of the church foundation. No church is complete without all four. If one is missing, we don't have a church. If one of those corners is missing, it will fall down. In each of these corners in this church, there are scriptures that we have placed. Do you remember those of the pictures that I put in there? You saw those? I would not want to sit in this building if that corner was not there. Why? Because the roof will fall in. And a church cannot function without these four corners. Prayer was vital for the early church and it's vital for us today. The early church came under intense pressure, intense persecution. What was their first response? Let's pray about it, guys. They're told, you know, unless you stop preaching this Jesus fella, you're going to be in big trouble. And then they beat them and whip them and say, go on, send them away and don't do it again. What's the first thing they do? Oh, look at my poor wounds. Look what's happened to me following Jesus. They don't have a pity party. They say, come on, guys, we need to pray. First thing we need to do right now is to seek Jesus' mind on it. Does Jesus still want us to share the good news? Does Jesus still want us to go and tell the people about him? Does Jesus want us to put our life at risk? Does Jesus want us to lay down our life at this point in time, yes or no? And they pray. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they go out and they preach the good news. They prayed for boldness, protection, his strength, sustaining grace. And today we pray for the same things. Isn't that true? We need to be outside Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon us so that we can go and we can meet those people in the street that have no hope. And we go, do you know what? Can I introduce you to my friend called Jesus? He's the greatest hope you can ever have in life. This church will only continue to grow, will only continue to move forward if it's sustained by prayer. This is a vitally important message for us. In the days that we are living in now, which will get more difficult for Christians to live in, there will be trials and difficulties that will come across the church's path, and we need to pray so we've never prayed before. Our priority has to be to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. How many of us worry about things before we take it to the Lord in prayer first? How many of us are professional worriers? See, what worry does, we start to worry about things, we take our eyes up off Jesus, we look at the circumstances, and the worry then becomes anxiety. It moves very quickly from worry to anxiety. Do you know how quickly it can go? Like that. You start to worry, then you become anxious, then you become ill. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, can any one of us, by worrying, add a single hour to our life? Stress from worry drains our energy and it robs us of our peace. Drains our energy and it robs us of our peace. Some people have said this, well, if I don't have something to worry about, then I get worried about not having something to worry about. got to have something to worry about. And if they're not worried, they're worried that they're not worrying about having something to worry about. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? Some of you told me that. If we're not careful, anxiety becomes our favourite pastime because we live in an anxious state so often. We're worrying about the next thing. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippians. Remember, we talked about joy in our third sermon on this, and we used this scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul has it all sewn up in six words. He says, pray about everything, worry about nothing. Tell the person next to you, pray about everything, worry about nothing. Pray about everything, worry about nothing. You see, Paul offers advice to the church. Paul offers advice to us as Christians today. That God offers an alternative to the pointless and exhausting habit of worry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let's determine today, what's this sermon about? Let's determine today in our hearts, let's resolve in our hearts today to do something. When something happens in our life that takes us out of our comfort zone, something that is different, something that causes us problems, the first thing we're going to say in our heart is, Lord, I'm not going to worry about it now. I'm going to pray about it first. My mom, as you know, had leukemia. And she was over here for about 4 years. Was it 4 years, Esther, before she died? And my mum, there were days I would go and visit my mum, and she was in so much pain with her leukemia. She couldn't get dressed. She couldn't dress herself. She would sit in the chair in her nightie and dressing gown. And I'd visit her, and I'd say, how you doing, Mum? And she said, I'm okay, son, because I've spoken to the Lord about it. I've told the Lord how I feel today. It's not my problem anymore, son. It's now his problem because I've given it over to him. I'll always remember those conversations with my mum. She said, it's your problem now, Lord. It's not mine. See, by leaving it with him to fix, we can consider it fixed. We have actually solved the problem there and then by giving it to God. What we have to do now is wait for his leading, his guiding in it. That's what we need to do. When God wants us to act, how he wants us to act, he will make it clear. You see, he will direct our thoughts as we wait upon him and show us if we need to do anything. If he says nothing, do you know what that means? Do nothing. If he says to do something, do you know what that means? Do it. The thing is, he will take it from there. We give it to him and he will take it from there. When I was 40, so much younger than today, my wife loved me so much, she bought me a flying lesson in a Cessna. Just one. And I went on my training and the instructor told me all that was going to happen and I was quite excited and we get in this little plane and it's so close in this little plane, you're like, you can feel the person next to you, you know. And you wind it up with a rubber band, you know what I mean? And the instructor said to me all that we're going to do today, and I sort of learnt a lot of things that we're going to do. And he said, right, we're going to take off, and I'm going to explain exactly what we're going to do, and I'm going to explain what you're going to do. And I thought, this is lovely. I'm really looking forward to this. So excited. Plane takes off. I'm really enjoying myself on this flight, knowing that I don't have to jump out the plane, of course. Although there was a parachute under the seat. And so at a point he says, right, I'm going to let you take over. And on either side on the plane, next to this big guy, there's a little steering wheel. There's a throttle down here. There's a little steering wheel. And he's got the same. And he's got the pedals, so you can go left and right. And upside down, we didn't do that one. And he said to me, okay, Robin, he said, we're going to now hand over to you to fly. Really? Okay. He said, all you need to do is the top of the plane there, you just keep it on the horizon and we'll just go. And if gentle moves to the left and the right, we don't want to turn over quickly, gentle moves. And he took me over my house. And I'm flying over my house and looking at the house. I'm enjoying myself. This is fantastic. And we start to make our way back to the runway. And I'm learning to fly this plane. I think this is wonderful. This is really good. And he said, Robin, how would you like to land the plane? Yeah, I'm up for landing the plane. He said, it's dead simple. When you come down to the runway, you will see the numbers on the runway. You keep the numbers on the top of the plane here in this viewing panel. And you will just adjust the throttle and we'll reduce the power and we'll come in to land the plane. He said, not many people can do this, but I think you've got a good chance of having a go. So I'm there, adjusting the throttle, keeping the numbers, and I'm coming down and I'm doing really, really well until the numbers, I've gone over them. Now, what he said to me before this was the thing that really gave me great peace. He said, at any point in the time that we're going to land, if I think you can't do this, I will say these words, over to me. When I say over to me, you take your hands off the steering wheel. You don't do anything. You leave the pedals alone and you let me land the plane. Is that okay? I said, that's great. As we got over the numbers, he could see I didn't know what to do. He said, over to me. And I knew when he said those words, I took my hands off the steering wheel. And he landed the plane. And we landed safely. These words, over to me. In prayer, when we're flying in the heights with God, when we're enjoying the experience, there are times when God says, over to me. Goodbye. Watch out for aeroplanes. There are times when I hand it over to God and take my hands off the situation. Does that make sense? Because the problem is we bring it to the Lord in prayer and we still want to pilot the plane. Developing the discipline of prayer while breaking the habit of worry calls for mental effort. It takes time to have a change of thought. It took me time to understand how to fly that plane. I couldn't have gone up on my own. I wouldn't have got down probably on my own. I needed to learn to fly until that point as I could land the plane myself. Absolutely. And I wouldn't jump out of a plane. As we take time to learn this, as we take time to develop our prayer relationship, our trust with him, and we leave it with the Lord, there will be inexplicable peace that God gives us. When we know he's in control, it's going to be okay. Philippians 4 verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There are times, however, that we don't just pray and leave things in prayer. So, for example, I want to lose weight. I need to lose weight for health issues. I don't just say, Lord, I just need to lose weight and leave it in your hands. I'll be saying, Lord, I need to, in your help and your strength, exercise, eat differently, but with your help and your strength, we'll do it together. There's a divine partnership. Sometimes God asks us to do things with him in order for the thing to happen. I know years ago there was people that wanted to have this divine weight loss by God just removing it like that. Yeah, well, you might need to do a bit of partnership there. When we're too busy, prayer gets squeezed out of our schedule. It's a very simple statement that I'm going to say, and we all know it, but we need to make prayer a priority in our life. See, prayer is an investment. Nothing's wasted when we pray. You know, God's not asleep when we pray. Did you know that? He's never asleep. It says the Lord never sleeps or slumbers. If we all pray right now a prayer, he can hear simultaneously our prayers right now. He doesn't get an extra finger and go, yes, 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 yes. But he hears from heaven. I said earlier, sometimes people teach that if we don't get our prayer answers, it's because we don't have enough faith. If we don't get our prayers answered, it's because we didn't pray in the right way. We weren't specific enough in our asking. We didn't use the right words, or we didn't claim the scriptures. Therefore, God doesn't answer our prayer. What they're saying is, if you don't use a formula in a special way, then God will not hear you. That's not true. All he wants you to do is talk to him in whichever way you want. The formula, I suppose, is talk. Speak to him. Spend time with him. The faith we exercise in prayer is not about seeing specific results for specific requests. In other words, I need an answer to prayer. I need to pray specifically so that God will answer specifically. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about putting our complete trust in the Almighty God, who loves us and knows what's best for us and will answer in the best way that is for us. So our faith is not in the specific answer in prayer. It's our faith in him who we know will answer in the right way. He will always do what is right, always. Would you tell the person next to you, God will always do what is right? And in our prayers, we can acknowledge and say, God, do you know what I need far better than I do? And I believe today you will do what is right. And Father, it's over to you. We have no doubt that God has heard our prayer, but we leave him to decide how it should be answered, when it should be answered, and where it should be answered. Well, the Bible tells us this in 1 John 5:14, that God promises that he will hear, and not only will he hear, but he will answer. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Never too busy, never sleeps. He's never got too much in his mind. I've got another universe to create. I can't think about Robin's prayer right now. I'll have to put it on my desk and pick it up later on. And there is something else that God adds to our prayer, which is amazing. He answers our prayer in such a way that we'll develop our faith and trust in him in a greater way. He doesn't just answer prayer, oh yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, yeah, it's fine. He does it in a way that we will now trust him in a much deeper way than we have done before, so that our intimacy with him grows. 2 Corinthians 12, we aren't going to put it on the screen, but you can read it for yourself, 7 to 10. The Apostle Paul says to God, God, I've got this thorn in my flesh, and 3 times I've asked you. And you think, well, God would say, he's a great apostle, he's won all these people, I'll answer the prayer for whatever he wants. But God never answers the prayer for what he wanted. He answered the prayer for what he needed. What did he want? He wanted this thorn in the flesh to go away. How many of us have asked for the thorn in our flesh to go away? God, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. What did he need? He needed a greater sense of the presence of God so he knew everything was going to be okay. And sometimes God will answer us in our life not what we want, because he'll always do what is right. And what we need is a greater sense of presence of God in our life. This is what prayer is, having a greater sense of presence of God in our life. We sing about it, surely the presence of the Lord is in the place. We sing about, we want your presence, Lord, more. We want to. But you know, unless we have an intimate relationship with him, which is partly prayer, we'll never experience the presence of God in our life like he really wants us to. If he doesn't answer your prayer the way you want him to, it's because he wants more of his presence in your life. What God always does, Philippians 4 verse 7. He promises an inner transformation. He promises, if you bring it to me, if you say over to me, if you trust me that I'm in control and that I have the right things for your life, if you do this, then the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And you will not need to be anxious about anything because you know it's going to be okay. We can stand tall. We can say our hope is in the Lord and it will all work out because he is in control. Let's not overcomplicate prayer. If we seek intimacy, we will have everything we long for in life. If we spend time with Jesus, we are going to have everything we long for in life. We'll also realise that God has given us things that we never even realised we needed. Do you know that? Because he knows already what we need, he's already providing stuff. Right now, he's working from heaven in your life. And he's doing things for you that you don't even know you need right now. He's prepared things this week for you right now that you don't know you're going to need. But he knows. Matthew 6:33. Let's read this together. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The things you don't know you need will be given to you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. But Lord, at times we're our own worst enemy. Lord Jesus, you've made an authentic way that we can come into the throne room of God 24/7 every day. Yet, Lord, so often we pray after instead of before. So often, Lord, we think we can make good decisions and we make a decision that turns out to be a bad one. And afterwards we have to say, God, help me. I've done it again. So often, Lord, we come with our prayer requests. Lord, we want this, we want this, we want this. And Lord, what we want and what we need are two different things. We acknowledge that today. We acknowledge, Lord, that you know best, that you are sovereign, that you are God, that you have the answer for every one of us. And you've already answered it. You just want us to align ourselves with your will and purpose and plans for our life. And so, Lord, in prayer, when we come, we pray, Lord, that we'll hear your voice and we'll see what you're saying in this situation. In every situation that we find, we'll come and say, Lord, what have you got to say about this? What are you doing here? What do you want to have happen in this situation? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond in this situation? And, Lord, if we've never done it before, we're going to take our hands off the steering wheel and say, over to you. Lord, I pray specifically for those people that are anxious and worried at this time. I pray, Lord, for the peace of God that passes all understanding to come and transcend upon them and for an inner transformation right now. I pray, Lord, that we'll choose today through this sermon to discipline ourselves, to bring it to the Lord in prayer first and to focus on you. But Lord, communication, prayer is all about communication and focusing on you. We thank you, Lord, you want to be intimate with us. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to have a wonderful relationship with you. You want us to depend on you utterly and completely for all things. That's not a sign of weakness, that's a sign of we're being like Jesus, who depended upon the Father. Lord, we have a codependence on you. I pray for this church. I can't pray for the others. I'm not leading the others, but for this church, I pray, Lord, that we'll be a people where the foundation of prayer is strong. Where the devotion to the apostles' teaching is strong, where the fellowship is strong, where the breaking of bread is strong and prayer is strong. And for this church, Father, that the legacy that we leave will touch many, many lives. And Lord, as we're learning now to be like you, as we're learning to trust you in a deeper way, as we're learning, Lord, to get out of the boat and walk on water, we're going to keep our eyes fixed upon you. And I pray for each of us here today. Lord, there's no condemnation if we don't pray enough. It's not about whether we pray enough. But Lord, there'll be a deep desire today to trust you. And to talk with you like we've never done before. To take the time to listen and hear what you have to say. So Lord, thank you for making a way for us. We honour your name today and we glorify your name. Amen.